Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody is having a wonderful Wednesday today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful, Austin. Life is good. A little bit warm down here in Florida right now, but this is what everybody moves down here for, these warm December. So it's nice, though. It's probably in the low 80s, but it's pretty clear skies, no chemtrails. But I want to talk for just a second. You know, Gerald Celente has been on my show many times, and he's a friend of mine, and I like Gerald. And I need to discuss a little bit about what he talked about yesterday, because he was really, really pro-Bitcoin. And my response, and I think Gerald even said that was something that was true with Austin, cryptocurrencies are going to be something that we're not going to get away from unless they're completely illegal globally. Like Gerald said yesterday, China outlawed them, but they're going on the black web and still trading in Bitcoins and still putting their money into Bitcoins. The problem is, it is a bubble right now, and Gerald admitted to that yesterday, but he said this is where it's going, which we know that it is, because the Bible says that we're going to go to a cashless society. That Bitcoin is a bubble, that when it bursts, it can be disastrous, especially if people have put their entire life savings in it, Austin. Cryptocurrency Bitcoin has set another record, breaking the 12,000 mark for the first time. This is like 2,000, like a 20% growth in the last few days. This is complete and totally pyramid Ponzi scheme with people pouring their life savings into it. Compare that where it was at the beginning of the year when it was trading around 1,000 per token. Since then, it's been growing constantly, albeit with regular fluctuations. Russia Today discussed with multiple analysts now that this is a massive, massive, massive bubble. And when it pops, people could lose their entire life savings. And I wanted to share that with people because they need to understand that. Reuters has said today, Bitcoin extended its eye-popping rally on Wednesday by breaking 12,000 to a record high, despite questions about the cryptocurrency's real value and worries about a dangerous bubble. A copy of Bitcoin basically has been marketed all over the internet as the ultimate investment right now, and it's not. The move opens the door to the added regulation, but also more mainstream adoption. That's what Gerald was talking yesterday about, this cashless society, as Bitcoin futures and other derivatives make it easier to trade the new assets. Bitcoin's meteoric rise of over tenfold from below 10,000 at the start of the year, which over 1,000% growth, has drawn regulatory scrutiny around the world. Some high-profile individuals, such as Nobel Prize-winning economist Joseph Stiglitz, have said that cryptocurrency should be outlawed, and quite frankly, I agree with him. It took a long time to establish the methodology and the way Bitcoin was traded. The original appeal came from the fact that they were unregulated. However, it's clearly moved out of the shadows and into center stage. Articles continue, says, we are the throes of a bubble market, and one of the first characteristics is that there is no way to know when that bubble is going to burst. The current craze for Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies in general have been likened to some of the 17th century Dutch tulip mania. Gerald Celente talked about that yesterday. He said he couldn't compare those two. And it says Bitcoin was at last up 4.48% at 12,200 already today. There's a lot of money, literally billions of dollars flowing into Bitcoin right now, mostly motivated by the fear of missing out and greed, said Lena West, the president of the Bitcoin Association of Hong Kong. Guys, let me share something with you like this. I've seen these things come and go so many times. These are pyramid schemes. These are Bernie Madoff schemes. This is unregulated with nothing at the bottom. I discussed it with you the other day. It is a chain letter. People are taking hardcore assets and taking them out of this. If this thing was backed by gold or silver or diamonds like Venezuela is saying, and you had a hardcore asset that you could use that would be available with a tangible value if this thing collapsed, let me give you an example. If I buy an ounce of gold for $1,250 or $1,300 an ounce right now, if gold goes up to $2,000 an ounce, I've made a lot of money. If gold goes down to $800, I've made a lot of money. If I sell the gold either at the high or the low, where I make the money or I lose the money. If I don't high or sell it or keep it, I haven't lost any money because I haven't sold it. And I still have 1 ounce of a precious metal that's been a traded commodity for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. So that's what I'm saying to you guys, and I'm going to say it again. You can get all wrapped up in the Bitcoin craze, but until they decide to take cryptocurrencies and make them actually attached to something, is they're not worth the money they're written on. Quite frankly, this is exactly what we have with the United States dollar. It is a fiat currency. We have a proclaimed value on it. It's not backed by gold. It's not backed by silver. It is basically another Ponzi scheme. That's why it's one of those things that all currencies, all fiat currencies, eventually the bubble pops on them and they all go back to their intrinsic value, which is the paper that they're written on. Gold and silver do not do that. So maybe you say, well, Ted, you're in your 60s. You don't understand. This is the digital age of the future. Okay, you're right. I don't understand all that. I don't care. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to put money that I have to earn and work for and pay taxes on into something that has absolutely zero intrinsic value. It's bad enough having to keep money in your bank account to pay the bills every month, not be able to put that into gold and silver. But the reality is this. Guys, think through what you're doing. If something seems too good to be true, chances are it probably is. And if this thing collapses and goes back down to $1,000 or $500 or $100 of Bitcoin or $50 or 97 cents or 87 cents where it first started, and you're in it heavy, you're going to have a major, major loss, and you'll have absolutely nothing tangible. You won't have gold or silver or anything else. I'd rather have you put your money into real estate, for heaven's sakes, than into Bitcoin. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, and that's what I made the point yesterday, because, and that's why I brought that up to Gerald, because he was pushed. And granted, yes, I mean, are people going to make money on it? Is it going to keep going up? Probably for the time being. But my aspect is exactly what you just said on the fact that there's no tangible asset. If you don't sell your silver, if you don't sell your gold, if it goes up, it goes down, it really doesn't matter. No matter what, you still have that 1 ounce eagle or that 1 ounce bar or that 10 ounce bar or whatever form you have it in. You still have that in your hand that can be traded, used, melted, sold, however you want to do with it. This stuff, if it goes down right now at the level people are buying it at, you're talking about a significant loss. Now, some of the people that got into it, you know, 2 years ago, I think, when it was at like $250, $300, and they bought a few of them, and now they've literally up, you know, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. If you're doing that and that's how you got into it, I could honestly care less. You're not looking at that big of a loss. There's no downside. But these people that are going in and dumping $10,000, I think it's at $13,000 now, it's literally growing exponentially. I mean, it's growing like another $1,000 to $1,500 on top of itself every single day now, because the only reason anything without any type of assets, without any type of infrastructure can grow that fast is because people are shoveling cash and hard assets hand over fist into it in the forms of cash, credit cards, debit cards, bank transactions, all that. So they're pumping it up with real currency that they're trying to put into it. However, when the time comes when you start having some of these big boys that literally got into it at a couple hundred dollars a coin, and they're like, hey, you know what, we're going to yoke it out now. I'd like to get, you know, a good 50, 60, 100, 200, $500 million payout on it. And these guys start pulling their money out of Bitcoin, this stuff is going to drop so incredibly fast. So, yeah, if you got into it and you were speculating and you got a couple coins in the $100 range, honestly, I'd leave them in there and see where it goes. That's my opinion. I'm not giving you financial advice, but it's like a gamble. See where it goes with it. But going out now and taking out money out of savings and maxing out credit cards and taking out loans like some people are doing now that I'm hearing to go buy this because they really hope that it's going to go up to 20, 30, 40,000. And I don't know where it's going to go. It may hit 20, it may hit 30, it may hit 40, it may hit 50. Did you lose out on it? No, not really, because there's nothing significant there. We all know where it's going to go to. So, I mean, unless you're really in that market and you actually know where it's going to go, and there's other aspect too is what I brought up yesterday. Venezuela's already released now, because they're working with Russia, that they want to have a cryptocurrency that's backed by oil, gold, and diamonds. That is a completely different market. If you have a country that is allowing their holdings to be audited and they're having so many carats of diamonds, so many billion oil gallons of oil, so many ounces of gold, and they're saying, we're releasing this much cryptocurrency based on this many assets that we are currently holding that can be currently audited, that's an entirely different level, because if you can turn around and cash that in, you have a very, very significant digital currency that actually is worth something. One of two things are going to happen once they release this and actually put it on the market. Either people are going to see that the cryptocurrencies are pulling this strong and Bitcoin's going to go through the roof even further when they release a currency like this, a cryptocurrency that's backed by assets like gold and oil and diamonds, or it's going to have the complete opposite effect and everybody is going to transfer their Bitcoin over to the new coinage, the cryptocurrency that Venezuela will release, because it actually has some type of backing to it. So that that's where I'd be wary right now. You start talking about having a cryptocurrency that's backed completely and solely by precious metals and oil and diamonds and commodities that we trade, that's a whole nother level. I would not have a bit of problem investing a little bit of money that I did not mind losing. And that's the thing you guys always have to understand. Whatever you invest in something like that, you always have to be ready to lose all of it. That's my personal preference. I'm not giving you advice, but that's my take on it. If you say, I'm going to throw $100 in it, what's the worst case scenario? I lose $100. That's rough. I'm not going to be happy about it, but it's not going to affect my mortgage or my life at all. But there's people out there right now that are taking out loans, maxing credit cards out, getting second mortgages because they really think they're going to make millions of dollars on Bitcoin. Will they? I don't know. But to me, it's not worth risking my family's money and my food that I put on the table for my children all in the expense of trying to get rich off a cryptocurrency that has very to little long-term curve that we can see. I mean, this stuff's, what, 2013 is when they came out with it? I mean, this stuff has a four-year curve. That's it? I mean, we can't even go back 10, 20, 30, 40 years to see what this stuff's been doing. I mean, it was $1,000 at the beginning of the year. So, I mean, there's a good possibility in another year it's either going to go up significantly or it's going to be back down to $1,000 or $500 again, and there's no way to speculate on it right now because all it's going to take is a handful of very large investors from the beginning to yoke out a significant amount of Bitcoin out of the market, and they're going to make everybody fire sale it immediately because people are going to think they're losing their money so fast and the cryptocurrency's over. So, yes, Dad, that's my take on it.
And it'll drop so fast because there is no real estate here. There's nothing.
Yeah.
There's nothing. It's air. You're buying air. Oh, it takes $1,000 of electricity to mine a Bitcoin. Hogwash. Total and complete hogwash. I mean, I don't buy any of that stuff. It's just, that's what they say to justify this meteoric rise. They're going to mine a Bitcoin. No, you don't. It's not mining gold. It's not mining silver. You don't have huge mines with hundreds or thousands of employees in the middle of Chile doing this kind of stuff and some strip mining operation, which you're causing. No, you know, it's nonsense. The truth of the matter is, it's just something that's been set up by the globalists, probably by the CIA, to do a beta test on the market to bring in a Rothschild one world currency, one world digital currency into play, and they're getting all the bugs ironed out of it, guys. And if they make this thing illegal, it's going to drop off so hard. Here's what I would do if I were you guys and I had money in Bitcoin. No, not giving you financial advice, just what I would do. Let's say I put $1,000 in it, and it had $10,000 in it. All I had in there as far as my principal was $1,000. You know what? If you wanted to go ahead and roll it, take your $1,000 back out. Now you got nothing in the game. You got no skin in the game. If you lose the other $9,000, sure, you may have had it at one time, but you didn't lose anything. Or you take half your money back out and make 500% return, leave the rest of it in the roll, let's see what it's going to do. But that way you won't be losing your principal. My whole thing is not to lose principal because let's say, for instance, you save up $10,000 after taxes. So let's say you're paying for Social Security and taxes, you're paying 35-40% in income tax. So you got to make $10,000. You got to make $17,000-$18,000 to save $10,000. And now you've got $10,000 and you give it to a financial planner and they lose the $10,000. Well, you didn't lose $10,000. You had to make $17,000 to make that $10,000. You actually lost $10,000 in gross income. $17,000 in gross income. That's what you just lost. Now, that means you've lost it all. That means you get to make another $10,000. You got to pay taxes on all that again. So, what I always did, and I've always been careful with my investments over the years, I don't dig into principal. If I see something's dropping, and I may have lost some gains, I'm like, well, you know, I've got a positive on this right now. I haven't dug into my principal. I'm going to go ahead and pull the principal back out. If I have to, I'll sell all of it. That's how I look at life. Because when you start digging into principal, guys, after tax principal, that's a major problem. Because remember, you can only write off it, you know, these capital losses like $3,000 a year, unless you have something to offset it against. So if you lose $10,000 and nothing offset it, you have to write off $3,000 a year. I mean, it's a big mess with the whole tax structure the way it works. And guys, right now that's a giant Ponzi scheme. Again, if I had money in it, I would pull my principal back out of it right now and be happy that I got the return. Maybe my good friend John Parvin, he's a good friend. He's my attorney. He said to me a long time ago with guys doing investments and real estate deals and everything else, he said, pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered. That's what I always remember. He always said that to me. He still does. Pigs get fed and hogs get slaughtered. And he said, the whole thing about it is, if you're making a profit, if you got a return on your investment, just go ahead and get fed. Don't try to go until the very, very end. Because if this thing ever gets outlawed by the United States or whatever, it's going to collapse. And guys, I don't know how in the world the Security and Exchange Commission can allow this thing to go onto the NASDAQ or get publicly traded. I don't understand this because there are no assets to this thing. I have no idea unless, again, it's the globalist way of extracting more and more and more of your hard-earned money. Because remember, they don't care about you. They only care about taking your stuff from you and enslaving you. And if they can take your life savings away from you, it makes them happier because now you become increasingly more dependent on them. I don't trust this thing. It reeks of CIA involvement, Austin. And quite frankly, I can't issue a strong enough thing about this. And again, if you're in it, you can pull your principal out of it, whatever you want to do. But guys, it's not what we think it is. That I can guarantee you. But it may be, as Gerald Celente said, the cyber currency, this cryptocurrency, may be the wave of the future. But like you said yesterday, the reason that people got into it is it could not be regulated by the federal government or the international governments. The problem with that is the IMF, the International Monetary Funds, the Bank of International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland, all of these guys, they're watching all of this stuff, and these guys control the pulse of the entire planet as far as the M1 money supply. And if they decide they don't like this, they're going to work with their respective governments and their respective countries, and they're going to shut this thing down because they control those countries. Because like Rothschild said at the very beginning, I care not who makes the laws in a country. I care not who the president or the leaders are. You let me control the currency, and I will control that country. So that's how this thing works. By the way, 20,000 protesters now in Tel Aviv rallying against the known Satanist, incredibly corrupt Benjamin Netanyahu is continually being accused of corruption. In Israel, an estimated 20,000 people shouted shame in protest against Prime Minister Netanyahu, who is accused of taking bribes from wealthy campaign contributors in exchange for political favors and for trying to block the investigation. Members of Netanyahu's Likud party introduced legislation that would ban police from sharing the conclusions. Listen to this. Would ban police from sharing the conclusions of their investigations with those in political office. Are you kidding me? I mean, you can't share the investigations. This would effectively nullify the investigations regardless of the outcome. Since August, Netanyahu has been under investigation for allegedly doing all of this crazy stuff. Saturday's protest was a result of the Israeli parliament's recent push for a new law that would ban police from publicizing the conclusions of their investigations. Unbelievable. Netanyahu and his government are destroying the country. There's been enough corruption. Michael, a demonstrator at Tel Aviv, a resident of Tel Aviv, preferred not to give his name, told The Guardian on Saturday. Guys, I'm going to say this. The vast majority of the people in Israel have absolutely no idea, I'm talking now over 90%, have no idea how incredibly corrupt their government is. Just like the people in the United States, the vast majority of the people in the United States, probably 60-70%, have no idea of the corruption of our federal government in Washington. The stuff with Hillary Clinton's emails with Podesta and the soul cooking and the blood drinking and all the sick stuff they were involved with. Every single person that I've asked about that who does not listen to alternative radio, every person, 100% of them, had no idea what I was talking about. They had none. This is what we have going on all over the world as these incredibly corrupt organizations, these banking conglomerates and oligarchies are running the world right now through Bitcoin, through fiat currencies, through sex, crime, greed, drugs, Afghanistan, heroin, weapons, name it. These guys are involved in all of this nonsense. And until we the people understand that and we can get a tipping point, which is over 10% of the population understand exactly what's going on, we'll never get the change that we need. And guys, we're getting really close to 10% now. So I'm really happy to be part of it, Austin. What do you think?
You're absolutely right. I mean, it's definitely starting to change. A lot of people are starting to wake up. And that's, you know, back to what we were saying, just to touch base on it. You know, you got to think about this for a second, guys. You can't be naive, especially with this Bitcoin aspect. You know, the NSA monitors everything we do. The Federal Reserve has almost a bank in every single country in the entire world. They control the monetary systems, literally, of the world policy. They print fiat currency as fast as they want. They put QE to infinity at $84 billion a month to funnel all the cash to the central banks. And the list goes on and on and on. We invade every country we feel like and take it over and put in another reserve bank. Does everybody really think that this Bitcoin cryptocurrency is so insanely difficult to crack, is so advanced, is so secure, is so anonymous that the CIA and the deep state and the Federal Reserve and the Rothschilds are literally just putting their hands up in the air going, we have no idea what to do here. We're totally lost. We have no idea how to control this currency. We are completely out of control right now. I guess we'll just have to let the goyim do what they want and make as much money as they want off their digital currency, because there's nothing that we can do about it. We're completely out of control. Really, guys? You really got to look at it from that aspect and go, nah, I don't know if I buy that. Now, do they have full and 100% access control of it? Nah, maybe not with some of the blockchain technology. But have these guys figured out ways to manipulate it and get around it and track it and bump it up now? Of course they have. More than likely, in my opinion, this is just my opinion. Consider the fact that it was $1,000 at the beginning of the year. I think where a lot of these guys have figured, hey, if we can't beat them right this second and we haven't figured out 100% how to master this for a global new world order cryptocurrency digital cashless society, let's join them for a little bit. Let's bump this up with some fiat money, because these guys literally have trillions of dollars. And yes, I said that with a T, trillions of dollars sitting around with nothing to do with it. Let's bump this up. Let's see if we can get as many people involved in this is physically possible. Let's see if we can get the world population completely on to a digital currency by making them think this is the next best thing. Let's put enough cash in there and get a Ponzi scheme rolling aggressively enough that it's going to start building on itself with as much cash as people are putting into it, that they are thinking they're making all this cash. Then we're going to go in at the last second when it's at the peak, when we're had enough of it. We're going to pull out all of our funds. We're going to make even more money off of it by stealing everybody else's money. Then we're going to turn around and say, you know what, guys, this blockchain unregulated technology is too much. It's uncontrolled. We can't have it. We have to come in and have a central bank control this blockchain cryptocurrency.
There you go.
Once we do this, guys, once we get the IMF involved, once we get the UN involved, once we get these guys involved with it, it'll be a safe digital currency, and this will never happen again. You guys will never lose as much money again. You saw how it did before. It was great. You made money. You made profits. It was incredible. But it got too corrupt because people were abusing the system. Let's make it a one-world cryptocurrency that everybody can use, and this will never happen to anybody ever again. That, guys, is my honest, true opinion that I have not spoke about it on this show yet. That is what I truly think is going on with this. So as Dad said it before, if you got money in it and you pull your principal out, that's personally what I would do. I'm not giving you advice. To me, it's gambling. You gotta call for what it is. It's gambling. If you play blackjack at the casino, you play poker at the casino, you play cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, poker, this is what it is. It's gambling. It really is. Call it what it is. So if you're okay with gambling and you've already made money on it and now you're just kind of sitting back saying, well, we'll see what it does. Worst case scenario, I lose the profits that I made, but I got my principal back out of it. Whatever, man. I really don't care. But as far as financing stuff and stretching this stuff out, no go. No go, Dad. But also, too, and
I got to say something.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That point is excellent. And here's what I think. I just had a check in my spirit. Here's what I think they're doing. I think the reason this thing's growing so fast is exactly what you just said. I think central banks are investing in it. I think central banks are creating digital currency of their own. And they're taking those digital, because remember, they just make money out of nothing with fractional reserve. And they're running, they're buying Bitcoin by the billions of dollars. And they're running it up right now, just like they've done the stock market.
Yep.
And they're going to run it up exactly like you said. And then when they do it as high as they want, they're going to go and they're going to sell their billion shares or whatever they buy. And it's going to completely and totally collapse. And they're going to extract everybody's money again. They have done this over and over and over and over again with their boom-bust cycles. This is what the Sabbatean, Kabbalist, Luciferian, Babylonian money magic bankers have done now for hundreds of years globally, thousands of years if you go all the way back to Druidic worship and all the way back into Rome. This is what they do. They don't want you to get any chips in this game, in this gambling casino they've got going on. They want all the chips. And they're setting it up, just like they're doing with the stock market now, with this 25,000 Dow. They're setting it up to take all of the chips all of the time. It's like Austin said, do you really think they don't know what's going on? Do you really think they're not involved? Guys, these guys have quadrillions of dollars, quadrillions, thousands and thousands of trillion. And Beth, truth be told, they probably have millions of trillions of dollars. I mean, it's insane. They can print as much as they want. They completely come in and dominate and take over Bitcoin. And because it is a cryptocurrency, we have no idea who's buying this much of this stuff. Think about it before you get involved. What do you think, Oz?
Yeah, that's spot on, man. That's exactly right. It's completely hidden with the blockchain technology, so you really don't know who's funneling the money. Remember, how do we know that $85 billion a month the Federal Reserve was given to the central banks through QE to infinity? $85 billion a month. $85 billion. I'll make sure everybody understands that. How do we know they haven't been sitting on this cash watching? Because remember, they started QE3 or QE to infinity, where, what, 2014, 2015 again, the last one they did? $85 billion a month. Guys, the market cap on Bitcoin is $177 billion, or it was last week. It's probably up higher now. That's only 2 months worth of quantity easing to infinity from the Federal Reserve Bank. That's not that much cash for them at all. That's hardly any cash for them. So for them to start funneling billions of dollars into Bitcoin is literally pennies in the bucket to these guys. It's like playing pennies with a trash can. Well, who can make the penny in the trash can? I don't know who, man. Well, throw it away now. The trash can's full. Give me a new one. Throw some more pennies in there. That's literally where these guys are at with this type of money. It's funny money to them. It doesn't mean anything. So if they can use it as an excuse to extract real hard-earned cash that people have worked for, that people have sold things for, that people, I mean, anybody wonder why silver and gold tanked again today? People are dumping their paper shorts on this right now. They're dumping all their gold and silver paper to buy Bitcoin. Why do you think Bitcoin went up another $1,000, $1,200 a day at the same time gold and silver crashed again? The market's trying to make up for what's going on. It doesn't matter. People are dumping all their hard-earned cash in this stuff. So, yeah, that's our take on it today. Like I said, do what you got to do on it. There's pros and cons to it as far as in every aspect, but as far as at the point it's at right now, funneling large amounts of money, especially that you don't care to lose, is not a good idea whatsoever. Also, too, this is something that's pretty crazy out in California now. You know, a lot of kids that have a hard time in high school or so forth, they'll go to trade schools. You know, we've talked about that in detail now. Well, California now has just passed a law requiring trade schools to deny admissions to students that have not completed their high school diploma, meaning the government is ultimately having the final say in what young people can learn and do with their life. Concerned about the blatant attack on their First Amendment, Bob Smith, owner of the Pacific Coast Horseshoeing School, recently filed a lawsuit, federal lawsuit, against the state of California, arguing that he has a right to educate anyone he wants to, regardless of whether or not they have completed high school. The lawsuit, which was filed by a nonprofit organization called the Institute for Justice, has gained the support of Esteban Nerez, another resident of California who wants to attend PCHS but cannot because he didn't complete high school. He said, just like publishing a how-to book or uploading an instructional video onto YouTube is protected by the First Amendment, so is teaching. By limiting who Bob is allowed to teach and what Esteban is allowed to learn, California has not only harmed the student most in need of education, but he's also violated their First Amendment rights. With any luck, the lawsuit filed against the state of California will be successful, and hopefully we'll see what happens with it. But this is just something, even though it's a small article in California, their legislation and government out there is a bunch of nutbags. I mean, they do some of the most insane stuff I've ever seen in my life, including with vaccinations and guns. This is taking it a whole net step further by sitting there saying, if somebody had issues, and everybody, you know, and I recommend people finish high school. It's a very good decision to do so. But you don't know what's going on in some people's lives. You don't know what's going on with their family. Some people grew up really, really harsh, and they may not have the opportunity or ability or certain aspects in their life may not allow them to finish high school, but then they say, hey, I'm getting my cash together. I'm trying to work a minimum wage job. I want to go to a trade school. I really enjoy doing this. I want to learn how to fix this. I want to learn something with IT, or I want to learn something on another aspect with repairs or mechanics. Let's go to this school. Now these guys at this school that are running the school have to deny their application per California law because these kids have not completed high school. This is an abysmal failure when it comes to education. This is all about forcing these kids to go through this educational system that we have now that is complete and total failure. We talked about the other day, I think it was up in Baltimore or Maryland or one state up there, where almost all the kids in 13 different schools were completely illiterate as far as in math. Couldn't even figure out how to do it. Couldn't even know how to do it. This is what they want, though. They want everybody to go through this indoctrination camp that we now call middle school and high school and learn the ways of the government police state and how to submit in the way that they want you to and learn the garbage that they want to teach you. But for California to come in and think they have the right to not allow somebody to get further education boggles my mind, Dad.
I agree. I 100% concur with you. Changing topics. Here's this article. I've got a, this is funny to me, so I'm going to read it. And this is just, you guys are going to be laughing before I'm done with this one. Eating meat promotes toxic masculinity, an academic journal says. This, listen to this. This is by a PhD candidate at Pennsylvania State University that argues eating meat maintains a society where hegemonic masculinity is the norm. Ann DeLucio Parson, whose article was published in Gender, Place, and Culture, a journalist of feminist geography, I guess it's some lesbian thing, based her research on Argentina's meat-centric culture. I contend that in such a context, we cannot separate the ways people do vegetarianism from how they do gender, this woman wrote. Being a vegetarian in interactions drives social change, contributing to the delinking of meat from gender and revealing the resisting and the re-networking of gender in food spaces. This lady's actually being serious, okay? Then she goes on and she theorized that being a vegetarian in South America, in Argentina, is a political act that contributes to the destabilization of the gender binary or the view that there are only two sexes, masculine and feminine. This lady is off her rocker. Vegetarians defy attempts to hold them accountable to gendered social expectations, she wrote. Women, for example, assert authority over their diets. Men embody rejection of the meat masculinity nexus by adopting a worldview that also rejects sexism and racism, which means if you eat meat, you're a sexist and you're racist. The Penn State student, listen to this, became interested in the topic. Here's where it gets really funny. After spending 5 years as a vegetarian in Argentina, where they have huge cattle ranches, by the way, where she worked as a community organizer. Here we go, Obama girl, where she worked as a community organizer and a teacher. In an interview with Campus Reform, she said it was during her time in that country that she began to believe that being a vegetarian was both a lifestyle choice and a feminist act. The thing that blows my mind with all of this stuff is these gender stereotypes that this girl's putting out. Here's the thing. I got a newsflash for you. If she doesn't want to eat meat, I don't care. She can be a vegetarian. I don't care. I could care less what she does if she doesn't want to eat a cow or a steer or a bull or whatever, or a lamb or a sheep or a fish or an egg. I don't care. She can knock herself out. She can deal with B12 deficiencies. She can deal with losing her lean muscle mass. She can lose with all kinds of health problems, like having her hair fall out. I could care less if she looks like a hairless hag walking around in a stooped over position because she's lost the calcium in her bones from a lack of proper nutrient intake and she dies. I don't care. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. She doesn't want me or Austin or any of you guys that are listening to the show to eat meat. I don't care what she does. I don't care how she imposes it upon herself. But she wants to impose her values as a feminist, I'm sure as a lesbian, as a whatever she is, on men saying, you can't eat meat because if you eat meat, you're a sexist because it promotes this two-sided thing of masculine and feminine. Okay, this is the problem I have with liberals. Liberals hate guns. My response to them is, don't buy a gun. Liberals don't want to eat meat. My response is, don't eat meat. But that's not enough for them. Not only do they not want to buy a gun, they don't want you to own a gun. But they say they're the ones that are the free thinkers. They think they're the ones who are the ones who are the liberal-minded people that everybody should be left alone. No, they want complete and total communist control because their father, Lucifer, this is what he wants. This is how he rules. He's a jackbooted thug that wants to force everybody to do what he wants. And that's who they take after. That's exactly what these guys are involved in. And it makes me incredibly angry when I read stupid stuff like this with these people who write stuff like this, Austin, who are telling me I can't eat a steak. Are you joking me? I think I'll go out and eat a steak this afternoon just to spite this woman. Quite frankly, I can't stand people like this because it's ridiculous. If you don't want to eat meat, don't eat meat. I could care less. It's like this, like soy boys. I'm going to start on soy boys for a second. All these boys who are so feminine, who walk around with the corn cob up there, you know what, their backside, who are walking around, piddling around their little broken little limp wrists, sitting around at the doggone health food store, sucking down soy shakes. They're all talking about liberalism and feminism and homosexuality and transgenderism. Maybe if you ate a steak, maybe if you went out and got some doggone protein, maybe you stopped pumping all that estrogen in your body from the soy products, just maybe you'll start talking and walking and acting like a guy. Just maybe, Austin. I got to get off this topic. I'm going to get too mad. Go ahead. What do we have?
No, you're absolutely right. Well, this is a totally different topic here. This is pretty weird. Now, our tax dollars at work, this is not funny at all. This is quite weird. CNS News reported now that tax dollars are being used by the National Institute of Health to create humanized mice. The scientists attending the new humanized rodent model workshop sponsored by NIH in 2007 described the mouse model, according to the Research and Therapy Journal, the mouse was constructed with human fetal liver and thymus. As it explains, it was humanized with organs taken from babies 5 to 6 months after conception. A single donor provides sufficient tissue to implant 50 to 60 mice. They go on to say the 2014 description shows them as far as 17 to 22 week gestational tissues were prepared in the biological safety hood by cutting the tissues into pieces. And it goes on to further more stuff said now in 2016, the selective panel reported that the harvesting of fetal tissues at abortion clinic has basically helped humanize mice on what they've been working at now. The Harvard University backgrounder has stated the fetal tissue researchers preferred using tissue from aborted babies rather than miscarriage babies because they take further. This is what they've been trying to do for years. They've been working on this now, this project, since 2007. And this is how far they're trying to go with this transhumanism, this weirdo stuff with mixing human cells and human tissue with animal parts. They've already talked about that now with pigs growing human body parts. They've already been working on that for years now. This is the weird road that we're going down that they're really starting to splice together, Dad. And it's getting quite odd, but it seems like it's getting further and further down the rabbit hole as the years go by, to the point where I don't even know where the line is going to get drawn with this, but I guess that is kind of the point of the globalists. They want to take this to a whole nother level. So, yeah, that's where it's already starting to head now.
Well, they're not going to be happy until the mouse starts talking to them. I mean,
sadly,
a bunch
yeah.
of nuts. I know. This is Genesis chapter 6 with all this genetic splicing and all the stuff that they're doing. It's ridiculous. Oh, by the way, Miley Cyrus, the skank from Disney, who basically is awful in her, her concerts and everything else she does, she makes an anti-Semitic comment now, and now she's being hammered by the Hollywood community. She says she won't take advice from an old Jewish man in her interview. This is funny. Miley's, because, you know, they run Hollywood and they completely control the music industry. Miley Cyrus is sticking out her tongue continually, wasn't defiant enough. Now she's saying that she's put her foot where her mouth should be by unleashing another unfiltered comment that could have her bosses twitching in their chairs. She says the people in the music industry are too old and too Jewish to know what's best for her career. This is crazy. She goes on to say that she had made an anti-Semitic slip during the documentary. Her racy video, We Can't Stop, became the hot topic across the nation because basically she likes to put out the skanky stuff. And she says, it can't be like this, a 70-year-old Jewish man that doesn't leave his desk all day telling me what the clubs want to hear. I mean, unbelievable. But I will say something. This is probably the first time that some truthful comment actually came out of that weirdo's mouth, Austin. What do you think?
Yeah. That's kind of had me giggling there for a minute. Yeah, I do have to say, I mean, it obviously slipped up. Obviously, we already know, anybody in the media, when you say anything around the J word, the big J word, J-E-W, everybody flips out. And what's funny is it doesn't matter if you talk about Germans, doesn't matter if you're talking about Christians, it doesn't matter if you talk about Americans, as soon as you say the J word, everybody absolutely goes, oh my gosh, I can't believe they just said that. So I have a feeling she's going to get eviscerated pretty bad for that. And the fact that the globalists and a lot of these big Jews have actually propped her up in the media industry, they're going to make sure they reprimand her, but they've already made so much money off her, and they're using her as such a tool to completely degrade the moral fiber of this younger generation. They'll still keep her around. She didn't. The only reason why they did that to Mel Gibson is what they did is because he made The Passion of the Christ. That was a whole other level that he took it to, and that's why they made sure to completely eviscerate him and basically blacklist him in Hollywood. But I think Miley Cyrus, she's dialed in pretty good with all that stuff. They'll probably just give her a reprimand, and then she'll be back on her little weird ways with all the stuff she does, Dad.
Probably. By the way, Trump returns 2 million acres of land under federal control to Utah, which he should have done, and I'm glad that he did. President Trump signed two executive orders to reduce the size of two national monuments parks in Utah. Bear's Ears will be reduced by 85% and the Grand Staircase by almost half, removing federal restrictions against development of 2 million acres of land. Trump announcement prompted cheers and chant for four more years of the crowd inside the Capitol building. On the outside, demonstrators complained there was a sellout to the industrial interests who wanted to destroy the land for profit. In truth, the industrial interests have been destroying the land for profit with the approval of federal agencies for many years. That's true. The notion that the federal government is a break against exploitation of resources is absurd. So I just hope they maintain the pristine areas of these parks and don't allow development in condos and high-rise and strip mining to come in, Austin. That's my goal for that. But as far as taking land from the states and then basically incorporating it into national parks, I think it's okay in moderation. When they do huge tracts of lands from the states. Remember, the largest property owner in the United States is the federal government. People need to understand. It's crazy. Okay, what's your next story, bud?
Well, this also, too, this is pretty crazy. Now, a spokesperson for the Department of Defense said yesterday that, of course, the U.S. military will remain in Syria as long as necessary to ensure that ISIS does not return. Pentagon's Eric Pahon said that approximately 2,000 or more U.S. soldiers in Syria will be there to train and advise partner forces in the fight against ISIS still in the war-torn country. He said, we're going to maintain our commitment on the ground as long as we need to support our partners and prevent the return of terrorist groups. To my knowledge, unless I'm just been reading the wrong stuff for the last couple of years, I do not ever remember Assad inviting U.S. forces into his country to combat ISIS. He specifically asked Russia and Iran to help out with that. So it's funny to me how, if you guys have ever noticed, every single time we invade a country, for whatever reason we invade the country for, it really doesn't matter, because 99% of the time it's not a legitimate reason to invade a country. But when we do, we never leave that country. We set up military bases and we occupy that country for all the foreseeable future. Just look at every single country we've had a war in. We have bases there. We use those places, essentially, as we've talked about it before, is lily pad hops for the U.S. government, the Department of Defense, and the CIA, along with their black ops, to transport anything and everything they could possibly think of transporting. Because if you remember, when we had our one guy on the show, I forgot his name, Dad, you remember him, when he talked about the CIA, he said when they list the CIA as far as coming in on a transport plane or a military plane, or they're transporting anything, whether it's weapons, children, money, cash, heroin, doesn't matter what it is, all they have to do is basically blacklist the plane, and not even the military personnel can touch the plane when it comes in to refuel at one of these Air Force bases or military compounds that they have, and then it turns around and jets off whatever direction it needs to go to, and nobody ever knows what's in these planes. So it's always ironic to me that every time we invade a country, we never leave the country, and it's always under the guise of we're there to protect them and help them out and prevent ISIS from coming back. That always makes me laugh when I hear that excuse, Deb.
Well, that was Robert David Steele. He said that's what they basically black off it, and that's the end of it. There's no information. By the way, Sweden has leaked crime statistics now, and it's showing that 82% of the gang rapes that are occurring all over Sweden are by migrants. Oh, I'm surprised about that, right? Swedish newspaper Fridadier is being sued for publishing statistics. Being sued now for publishing statistics that were leaked from a judicial website but kept secret from the public. The stats were through 2004 and 2014. that 45% of the people sent to prison for crime were foreign-born. Oh, imagine that. 82% of the people sent to prison for gang rape were, oh, by the way, foreign-born. They're not saying Muslim, but that's who they are. And 70% of those sentenced, or most of them are, 70% of those sentenced to a 9-year prison sentence were foreign-born. The investigation also reveals that the direct cost of the immigrants to crime is billions of dollars. Authorities seem much more concerned about the release of the statistics than they are about the statistics themselves. That is because they care more about the goal of building a global system without national boundaries, which means without nations, than they care about those who elect them to office and pay their salaries. I couldn't have said that any better. This is exactly what happened when the guys from Planned Parenthood were videotaped selling baby parts and baby fetuses to these groups of people, which is illegal, and the only people that got in trouble were the people who were videotaping the fact that they were doing an illegal act, and they were charged with felonies. I mean, this is our judicial system in its full, nauseating splendor that we've developed in the United States and globally now, Austin. Heaven forbid telling the truth, because the truth will set them free. Continue the lie at all costs. What do you think?
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's what these guys have learned to do incredibly well, and that's lie about pretty much just about everything. I mean, that's what they do. Also, in other news, too, the Texas Health and Human Services Commission has now paid managed care organizations over $5.5 million in Medicaid payments after beneficiaries have already died. According to an audit from the Department of Health and Human Services, the Inspector General, according to the report, a payment is one that the state makes to a contractor for each beneficiary medical service enrolled under the state plan. The payment is made regardless of whether or not the beneficiary receives service in that period. The state agency performs monthly reviews of the payments and eligibility to identify and recover unallowed payments made after the death. We compared the dates of deaths noted in the Texas Medicaid Eligibility System or the State Bureau of Vital Statistics records and dates of death to confirm whether the Social Security dates of death were correct, and they found that they had overpaid them by $5.5 million. A lot of them have already been recovered, but they're saying over $1.7 million in payments have not been identified or recovered yet. This, to me, seems like a glaring oversight in a system that needs to be revamped. The amount of money that we spend out of our checks every month in Medicare is outrageous, personally, and not to mention the Social Security aspects that we're, the younger generation, being saddled with that we're more than likely never going to see at all, ever. Yet these guys are blowing millions of dollars without even verifying this stuff and then having to backtrace it and audit it to see if they actually paid for people that had already died. It boggles my mind, Dad, because only the U.S. government could function with this level of inefficiency and this much oversight and inability to organize detail, and yet still run on trillions of dollars a year because they steal it essentially unconstitutionally from the United States government or United States citizens with no permission whatsoever. Last time I checked, we did not get to vote on the federal income tax bracket system. Not ever seen it vote for that, not one single time. So it always boggles my mind how these guys just spend money hand over fist, and then we get saddled with the debt, which is significant now. But it's kind of irritating, to say the least.
Well, same thing. They have these no-bid contracts. I mean, they basically just give these contracts out to the suppliers, and they don't even get the bid on. They just get the contracts because they're vendors that have been approved through the federal government. And a lot of times, even if they have overcosts or over, but let me give you an example. Let's say they decide they're going to build an airplane for $1 billion and it costs $5 billion. The government just pays it. This doesn't make any difference. Yeah. They just pay it. You know, and they've done it over and over and over again. By the way, we covered part of this last week, but I want to go ahead and re-emphasize it one more time. Three more vaccine studies now have shown a link between aluminum and autism in the brain. Last week, we reported on a new study that examined dissected brains from children with autism and found that they had extraordinarily high levels of aluminum, which was a link to the aluminum-containing vaccines. Now we learned that a study from the University of British Columbia, published in September, found that the vaccine adjuvant additives like aluminum activate immune genes in mice that are analogous to biomarkers of autism. And yet another study published in France earlier this year found that as small doses of aluminum are injected over time, as happens during childhood vaccinations, it was more likely to end up in the brain. Guys, I probably am, and Austin probably is, except for like the vaccine, the autism, you know, network, et cetera. We give you more information on this than anybody else does. I had a friend come over today, good friend, I've known him for years, and he's a, well, I'm not going to say what he is because you probably figure out who he was, but what he'd been on cholesterol drugs. And he called me up the other day and I said, the doctor doubled his amount of cholesterol drugs he was taking. And did I think that was okay? And I said, well, it's between you and your doctor, but I'll send you some articles to read about what's going on with the drugs and some of the side effects about autism. I'm sorry, I said about cholesterol drugs, these statin drugs. And he said, okay. So I sent him about, you know, 20 articles, just sent him a link to them. He called me back up and he goes, I'm done. I'm off. I'm finished. I called my doctor up. You agree? We're coming off. I'm coming off the doggone statin drugs now. Finished. I'm done with it. I need natural alternatives to statin drugs. I said, okay. And he asked me today, he came by the house to talk to me, and I said to him, he asked me, why do doctors use statin drugs? Why do they promote them? If all of these studies that you sent me are true, and he says, I know they are, why is this happening? And I said, it's very simple. It's the money. It's the cha-ching. Here's what happens.
Yep.
When doctors have to take CPU classes, these continuing education classes, have to have so many hours per year in continuing education, the majority of these classes are paid for by the drug manufacturers who promote their products during the classes, saying this is the wonderful product that we're producing, this is how great it is, and so the doctor, the only thing he learns after college is from the drug companies. That's why they promote them. Plus, in many cases, and it's been shown over and over again, with certain types of drugs, the more drugs that doctor prescribes, the more he gets sent on very nice conventions around the country and around the world, all paid for by the drug manufacturers, because he's these extremely luxurious paid vacations based on how many prescriptions he had written that year for those drugs, and all other types of financial incentives. That's why this is happening. That's why you have all these pediatricians who are being given $40,000 by Blue Cross and Blue Shield for having 100 children completely vaccinated, another 40,000 for the next 100 children completely vaccinated. And what ends up happening is it becomes a giant money machine in which the more drugs they dispense, the more immunizations they expense, the more vaccines they expense, the more everything they give from the drug companies, which are owned by these Sabatier and Cabales, by the way, through their interlocking corporate directorships, the more money they get for all of these things they do promoting these types of drugs, and in most cases have such severe side effects, they're not worth the risk. It's too easy to lower cholesterol if you really need to through diet and through lifestyle changes rather than going out and taking these statin drugs, which are linked to over 300 different types of problems from statin drugs, including kidney damage, skeletal muscle necrosis, liver damage, and hardening of the arteries. These drugs are dangerous. So that's what my young friend wanted to talk to me about today, because why in the world do they promote them? So that's why I wanted to share that with you. That's why they promote them. It's all about the cha-ching, because remember, if you buy a bottle of multiple vitamins from Health Masters, it's, you know, 20, 25 bucks, whatever it is, 30 bucks, whatever it is. I mean, you know, what are we going to make on that at Health Masters? $8, you know, 30% margin approximately. Okay, we make $8 on a bottle of vitamins. That's not what these guys get. They give you a statin prescription that costs these special new statins or these drugs that are $200 or $300 a month that cost 2 or 3 cents to manufacture. Those are huge, huge margins into the billions of dollars. Plus, remember what else it does. It drops your total cholesterol so low in some cases that you can no longer effectively produce testosterone, which means you can no longer effectively act like an alpha male. You get all mushy brain. Your brain goes to mush. You can't think anymore. You end up with all kinds of senile dementia problems. You don't have any interest in being part of the resistance. All you want to do is take a nap every day at 4 o'clock. That's what happens to you with this stuff. And so this is where they are putting you, because they're controlling you with these brain chemicals that do all of this stuff to you. They don't want you running around with 600 or 700 testosterone. They don't want you walking around, you know, working out in the gym and exercising and eating a steak every night. They don't want you doing that. What they want you to do is stay on your tofu products, take your statin drugs, walk like a girl, talk like a girl, act like a girl, be like a girl, be a little right brain and want to go shopping with your wife all the time, and sit around and watch Hallmark all night. That's what they want the guys to do. Now, guys, if you occasionally watch Hallmark with your wife, that's up to you. But, guys, it shouldn't be something you're craving to do, sit around watching Hallmark with your wife. If you're doing that, you might want to get your testosterone checked. So just all the ladies are saying, oh, that's so mean, I can't believe you said that. Guys, I'm not saying don't ever watch Hallmark. What I'm saying is this. Avoid doing the things that these globalists want you to do that are going to intentionally lower your testosterone and turn you into a beta male and make you a girly man. That, don't do that. Just stay away from stuff that does all of that. And I've got myself dug into a ditch so deep, Austin, right now I don't even know how to get out of it. So I'm gonna say goodbye. Guys, I love you guys. I appreciate you. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamin powder from us. That's a great product, too, or your chewable multiple vitamins. Thank you for getting your B-complex from us. And, guys, thank you for being here. We're sending out a whole boatload of Christmas cards right now and all the orders that are going out, so you'll get to see our latest family photos. And thank you for being part of our Health Masters team. Thank you for being part of our family. We pray for you guys every single day. I love you guys. And I want to thank you personally again for the support you've given us. And thanks for listening to the show. God bless you. Austin, I'll do the write-up, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely, bud. Yeah, this is the pros and cons of not running a script on our show every day. It's just open. You guys know how we are. Also, too, to add on that, you guys have to remember, when you start taking these statins, it massively suppresses your body's immune system to fight off infection. It also inhibits the production of CoQ10, and it also massively increases the risk of diabetes. Those are just a few off the top that Dad didn't touch on either. In my opinion, and I've heard this from numerous people in the past, the statin drugs are a very, very effective gateway pharmaceutical drug. You hear that? People talk about marijuana, it's a gateway drug to other harder drugs. Statins are a gateway to many other pharmaceutical drugs. Once you get on them, you start having issues with blood pressure, diabetes, all types of stuff that a lot of times you have to go on multiple other prescriptions just to combat the negative side effects off the statins. And also remember too, guys, even in the study that was published by the BMJ, British Medical Journal, that they were actually trying to say pro-statin, as far as you need to take statins, even after a full research study, they found that taking statins over the course of 5 years added 3.2 days to a patient's lifespan on average if the side effects do not kill you first. In a significant clinical study, 3.2 days on an entire lifespan over a five-year period of taking a medication is hardly even significant, because there's so many other factors that can play a role in that. So understand that when you start hearing these doctors come at you and say, you got to take it or you're going to die, you really need to get a second opinion and also look at your nutrition, diet, and things that you're putting in your body on a regular basis. So we appreciate everything, guys. Thank you for the support. Thank you for the emails. This morning we had an issue with the website being down. Everything's back up. We actually had somebody attack us. It was some crazy attack from over in Europe. It got the website shut down for a couple hours. Everything stayed secured. We just couldn't handle the influx of traffic that they shot at us. So everything's up and running now. We're good to go. Healthmasters.com is good and ready. If you have any issues, though, you can call us at 1-800-726-1834. You guys have an awesome, blessed, safe, amazing night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.